Good morning, Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hello. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. Thank you for joining me today. I have a wonderful guest with us. Last week I had said that Deep Arrow Woman would be my guest, but she had something come up that made it impossible for her to join us today. But we have Brooke Medicine Eagle, one of my favorite people, with us. And you may have heard her. She's been on the show a couple of times last year. And she's a singer, songwriter, author, motivational speaker, and visionary. And so it's a great pleasure to welcome you again, Brooke.
Why, thank you. What a wonderful show to be on that starts with your lovely, lovely prayer.
Oh, thank you.
It's great
I
to
do
be
that
here,
every morning.
I'm sending love to the gal who couldn't be on the show today. May she and her family be well.
Yes. Yes, she said there was some sort of emergency, and I did not ask, you know, details, but sent her blessings and love, and said, all is in divine order. We'll have you on at sometime in the future. So, anyway, you're
all
back
right.
In
may
Washington.
May I start us with just a little smudge and a short prayer as well?
Oh, yes, I'd love that.
I have to tell you, I've just finished the peyote beading on a beautiful ceremonial eagle feather, and I'm really thrilled to be using it this morning with this sage. So we just ask Creator and Mother Earth for clearing for all of us. May we bring to this moment just what we need and release the rest, and not only in this moment, but in all our lives. And I ask with this clearing that I be a hollow bone that I might bring to the highest and finest in sharing with these wonderful people. So, Creator Mother Earth, we give thanks. That prayer said it all, and we are grateful from the bottom of our hearts. So we send forth this loving prayer, and we send forth sweet grass, the sweetness that we might become people of the honey, as the Mayans say, that we might become a sweet, sweet part of the earth. Ho, Metakriyas, and all my relations.
Ho, beautiful prayer. Thank you. And we know mm-hmm. that as we live in harmony, that we can only be love. That no matter what's going on in the world, nothing is as important as remembering to love the people around us and love Mother Earth and love all that we do. Wouldn't you agree?
And, you know, you and I had a little moment to say hi before and talk about this just enormous power of the feminine, and that willingness to to do our work to renew life and to care for each other and to support and to bring that balance. And one of the things that I received very clearly and became so obvious as the years rolled down, but in the late 80s, I vision quested on Bear Butte, a traditional quest without food and water and other things, and the visions and dreams that came to me there and then were all about the power, the emerging power of the feminine. And I was vision questing under the sacred buffalo hat, which is a buffalo skull and horns of a female buffalo that represents these two things that are so powerful. Mm-hmm. It represented and represents now the nurturing and renewing power of the feminine.
Yes.
So it wasn't unusual, I guess, being under that auspices that I received these amazing visions and dreams about the empowerment of women. And I just, it was said, you know, the balance needs to tip to the positive feminine to pull it out of the negative masculine. Mm-hmm. And we all carry all of those in us, you know. So it's not just about men, it's about that negative, the negative degraded masculine that is a little bit too much in charge in our world in this day, and that we, in the female body, in the female role of nurturing and renewing life, are the ones who can actually and will bring it back across the line enough to swing it into balance. And here
yes,
we are at Equinox, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's all about balance. And as you said, each one of us, whether we're male or female, we have both masculine and feminine energies within us. And, of course, because of programming and you know, our ancestors walking a certain path, we were, you know, we were taught to be feminine if we were women and to be the hunter-warrior if we were men. And it's, you know, the two different roles. But we each have both masculine and feminine within us. And it seems to me that at this critical point in the history of the Earth, we are supposed to begin to balance that within ourselves, and for women to allow some of their masculine energy to come forward, and men to allow some of their feminine energy to come forward, so that we are whole, balanced beings. And then we can relate to each other in harmony.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's interesting, too, is that the feminine is not wimpy, you know, it's not passive, it's open and receptive, but it's not mm-hmm. passive to everything. And finding, I feel like, the sense of good relationship, you know, of being in good relationship and harmony is seated in our feminine side. And you know, we're the ones who cook, theoretically, you know, in the old ways. We were the ones who cooked, who helped choose food, who supervised the growing of food and the nurturing, the literal nurturing of our people. And one of the other fascinating things was that in some very enlightened tribes, the primacy of the feminine, the first cause, the womb as the beginning of all things, that was held high. And in those societies, often the grandmothers, the menopausal women, the wisdom lodges, those women were the ones who were allowed to choose or depose a chief.
Wow.
And their charge was the charge of all women is the nurturing and renewing of life. Well, mm-hmm. step it up a level. And here I'm talking to these older women whose children are no longer around your legs. We have an opportunity and a challenge through our wisdom to be the ones who stand up for all the children. You know, when we have little kids around our own feet, it's pretty hard to spend a lot of time on a lot of other people's stuff. But as they grow and go away and we have the older time, then we can step into our medicine. We can step into our really deep, deep, deep power that comes from love and harmony and hooking up together and that kind of unity. And it's really very interesting, and I hope you don't mind me just getting on a wrap here, but it's really very interesting because we, as all people, but we women have big, big power around our choices in our relationships, in our food, in our kitchens, you know, as well as in our larger life. And one of the things I'm really, really active with right now in my heart and mind and prayers and speaking is women taking back the right to create good food and to have good, 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 healthy, natural, non-GMO, just wonderfully local, fabulous food. And
yes.
And, you know, that's always been our bailiwick, you might say, speaking of traditional roles. And so I think it's so important for us to really look at where we spend our dollars and what we're willing to do. and how I know it's hard. I know it's not easy to try to, I mean, I try to buy, when I was gone from here at Flower Song for the winter, you know, I bought things in health food stores. Oh my gosh, it's expensive.
Yes.
Like, wow, I really, my heart goes out to people who have families and child, growing children and all of that and are trying to do what they can. So I really feel for that. And, you know, another area that I think is an interesting challenge for women is about who we relate to and how we engage them about what they're doing in the world. There was an interesting Greek play, I think it was called Lysistrata, where the guys were misbehaving and doing war and all these things. And the women just said, you know what? We're not going to cook for you, serve you, or perform our wifely bed duties. We are not doing any of that until you straighten out.
Well, that's
and
powerful.
So they withdrew their energy. It was interesting because one of my highest and finest teachers said, you know, men want shoes and you women have the shoe store. Which I thought was kind of humorous. But, you know, our love, our nurturing, our caring, our supportive children, our taking care of in business as well as home, a million things makes such a difference. And here's the thing that blew my mind, and it always blows my mind when I hear this kind of thing. I asked the wife, I just happened to get to know her as a student a little bit, the wife of a very powerful and wealthy corporate executive who I felt was exhibiting extremely bad behavior through his company. So I just asked her if she ever had conversations with him about that.
Oh.
And she said, well, no, I don't even like the guy very well. The maid takes care of him most of the time. And we get together for business and a few intimate things. But she said, he picks up the karma and I get the lifestyle.
Oh, wow.
And I thought I would faint. I'm so shocked by that. But the thing is, she knew what she was doing. But if there are women out there whose husbands are misbehaving in their corporate world or whatever it may be, and we don't engage around that or withdraw from that, then we're complicit.
Yes, absolutely. Because
so
even
I really,
by being silent, we're agreeing, you know.
I really charge, you know, I really charge women with that conversation. And, you know, it's just very fascinating. And I feel like it's easy in the world we're in today for people to get away with things. It's like, you know, everything's so impersonal and there's so much going on and we're so scattered out and the business that just cheated us is in, I don't know where, Pennsylvania, I don't know, Korea, I don't know where it was. How do we have any, you know, how is there any way to engage with them or to have any kind of a restraint,
yep.
You know, a moral or the restraint of shame sometimes is better than nothing. I just had a somewhat predictable experience with a guy who was caretaking for me who really used all my stores, things I had asked him not to use, and didn't do the work that was vital for Flower Song and my trees before he left, as he had agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I basically outed him on Facebook and called him on it. And I said to him, you know, I'm not doing this to be mean, but somebody needs to, in the old traditions, especially the grandmothers, if somebody acted like that and it got around the community, the grandmothers would go get him by the collar. And they would talk to him about how he treats people and how he treats elders and women. And they would have given him, you know, therapeutic tasks. They'd have said, reparations, go learn about how much it takes to grow that amazing beef that your folks sent you from Montana that was so special to you. You know, to learn those things. So I feel like really stepping up and saying something about bad behavior is so important. Yeah. And the neat thing is that we I mean, it's not a who's against the guys thing or anything. Not at all. I love men, and I think they're wonderful when they really step up. And but it's really about the fact that, you know, a lot of women don't depend on men these days. I mean, we're emotionally and we're attached and we're, you know, a lot of things. But as far as, you know, like in the old days, really the man brought in the bacon and the woman was there, you know. She had never paid a bill or handled money. To have her be out in the world through divorce or disagreement or whatever was pretty devastating. But now women know how to do, we know how to do those things. And so I think we should have less fear about, oh my gosh, he might leave me. And the thing that is interesting is that, of course, those kind of actions only work in a way, in the largest way, if every woman does that. You know, if anybody cashes in and gives it up, then it isn't working so well for everybody else. But it's just a thought, you know, it's a thought about that, how we bring this sense of power back and start that conversation. Because women's role, when you look at classic male-female, let's say feminine, the feminine role, the masculine role is to step out there and do, to handle, to make, to do that, you know, do the heavy work, you might say. And women's role is to nurture and renew, and not women, excuse me, the feminine role is to nurture and renew and support and create social connection and create good relationships and hold the children and all of that. So, you know, that role is so important. And I think that... well, I'm just excited. I'm just excited for women and for the opportunity we have. I really feel that the one I call Dawn Star Woman, who is the feminine expression of unconditional love in the world, she's the Christ-like wife, Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is the absolute prime expression of unconditional love, and she is very active holding this cup of nurturing and renewing for the earth. And so I feel very connected with her and with that holding of the life on earth.
Yes, and well, I think that's what just going to say that I think that's what a woman's role has always been, is the life giver with a chalice through which all life, future generations come through. And so it's so important. But as we balance, more and more men are beginning to acknowledge their feminine side. I see more men staying home now and taking care of the kids and their wife going out and working. I see... more nurturing.
I want to comment on that.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, but I wanted to let you have a little bit of a chance. I was going to say that. What's fascinating, that's why I was saying not men or not women. Because some, as a matter of fact, here's a fun thing for women. I know there are a lot of powerful women on the call, and some of us have experienced it's a little bit difficult to find a male to balance us that isn't overpowered by our energy or whatever. And so this one older gal said, you know what? You need to think and get off of your thing about, I need some guy tougher and stronger and smarter and more capable than me, and then it'll balance. It's like, no. Perhaps what you need is you might want to find a very yin, literally more feminine man who's, maybe he's artistic, maybe he's home, he loves to be there when the kids come home, he's there to catch phone calls and make dinner times with people, and maybe he loves to cook, and I mean, that's the kind of person. And you sometimes look down on those people and disdain them and go, well, he's not a real man. Well, he is too, and thank heaven they're around. And we could do well, some of us, to have those kind of men in our life that really hold that nurturing and renewing side. When we're right now, as I was saying, being called into the world to act powerfully to save our bacon.
Yes.
Really.
Yes. It's time for this wonderful loving energy of the goddess, the great mother, divine mother to really flow in. And I feel it. People all around me, I can see changes happening in there. There is more sweetness. There is more caring and honoring of other people. And, it's not something people go around talking about, but I see it and I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you, Great Spirit, for moving in this energy that will bless everyone, will open their hearts and let this nurturing kind of love come forth, because that's what will bring peace on earth.
And isn't it great? I mean, it feels so good to everyone to behave like that. It feels good to the one behaving that way, and it feels good to those who benefit from that behavior. And I saw a sweet thing on the internet the other day. It said, oh, it made me have such faith in humans. It shows nobody on the beach, so you can see a whole bunch of dark dots. Pretty soon they're dolphins, small dolphins, beaching themselves. Oh. And pretty soon you see a person or two, and they're out there, and pretty soon they're out in there, and they're trying to turn them around and push them, and pretty soon a couple guys at a time just got them by the tail and pulled them out where they could swim. And then more people did, and more people did, and 20, 30 dolphins got back in the water. And it was like, oh, yes, yes.
Yes, we can help each other, yes.
Yeah, just step up. Get your hands in there, you know. And, I think that more and more we're speaking up. Oh, and I want to tell everyone something very quickly, too. You know, a lot of times how you get those things on the internet and the very interesting Avaz or something, organization, causes, other ones, they send you a little petition for something. Well, I was with some Harvard business people, or, even the World Wildlife Society says, tell Congress not to, drill in the Arctic or something. And I do a lot of those, and it does take time. And I thought, am I just blowing off my time? Well, these Harvard professors said, no, you are being effective, that big corporations and others are having less easy time getting by with things. Let me give you an example. A young girl, she was 15 or 16 years old, starting her first bank account with Bank of America. They said, we'll charge you $3 to pay your bills by email, of course, or internet, which is totally inexpensive for them. And she called them on it, and she started this petition, and 180,000 people who were Bank of America people said, hey, we'll just change your account. Unless you want to do it differently, we'll change your account. And boom, Bank of America shifted their policy.
Wow.
So there's enormous empowerment in what they call the social unions and media.
Oh, absolutely.
Like media unions. So I just want to encourage people with that kind of thing. And, the AVAAZ group, you can put up a petition for anything. If some company does this or that, or if you need this or that or whatever, you could check that out. But I love that. And these people are making, the woman has a book called Good Company, and it's about who the good companies are and why. A good company takes care of its people, creates a good product, takes care of its community, and takes care of its world. So she lists these good companies, and one of the sweet things is she says they are starting to make money. They're starting to have a great bottom line. And they're starting to see that they can be environmental, and they can be good, and they can be clear, and they can be offering really good things for people and make a very good living. So, and another law that was passed is that when these people violate and violate and violate and don't pay their fines, they just say, well, we can do anything we want. We'll just pay the fines. It's cheaper than changing. There's a list of those now. And also, if they're caught doing something, let's say 10 years down the line, they've been polluting a blah, 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 a beautiful river, or polluting people's water supply, they can't just go, oh, gee, I guess we overlooked that. Sorry about that. Now they have to pay reparations back for all the years that they were doing it.
Wow.
And there are things like that coming out there that are saying to corporations, no, you don't get away with this. And that's what we need to do. I saw a thing, and I love women for this. There were some young gals, really good-looking young gals, just, normal, wonderful brides. They were in their brides' outfits, and they had money pinned all over them, and they were walking down the street to these corporations, and they said they wanted to marry, if a corporation is a person, hey, They're wealthy and powerful. I'll marry one of them. So they were going to marry these different corporations, marry Monsanto and marry these other enormous, slobbering monster corporations. And it was a really interesting statement because hopefully as voters, we women might be able to, I think there are more of us than men. We ought to be able to vote and make sure that, healthy things happen. And we just need to say, they can't be treated as an individual. No. They are not a human and they need completely different rules. So all sorts of fun things to do.
Well, the great thing about this, with all the social networking and all, it has brought people together. And we, the people, have tremendous power if we all speak out together against something that's wrong, and we can definitely make a difference.
Yeah, and a difference we must make. We're in this very interesting critical balance time, it's interesting that we humans, it's just like being called on our behavior, We're kind of like the guy who skipped out from my place from Flower Song here. It's like, we've been getting away with it. We haven't had to face the consequences. And somehow we crazy humans need to be brought up against the consequences in order for us to change sometimes. I mean, that's a sad commentary, but it feels like the truth. And by gosh, if we needed that, well, we're right there. We're right there. We can see the tipping of the balance could happen in not too many years.
Yes, well, very soon, because truthfully, I've noticed in the last 10, 15 years or so that people are getting what I call instant karma. If they do something wrong, they're not worrying about next lifetime or next year. They're getting slapped right away. I mean, it's just happening. It's like, okay, you can't get away with that anymore.
I want to share with you a thought about the Day of Atonement. There's been always speaking about the Day of Atonement. In my tradition, in a more native primal view of things, the Day of Atonement is the day of at-one-ment. And that just doesn't mean we're all groovily joined in hearts. It means that too. But it means that we are at one with the energy we're putting forth. And it's the whole thing about the law of attraction and all of that. What we put out, we eventually get back. And what I was told is it's spinning faster and faster. What goes around comes around, and it whips around, and it's back in your face and your nose in no time.
Yes.
So I think that's going to help. It isn't fun. I don't like my bad behavior up my nose.
Well,
it definitely changes me.
Well, I think it's a good thing, actually, because people used to be able to get away with all kinds of stuff. And now it's just getting harder and harder, whether it's a corporation or a person down the street from you. If they cross the line somehow, they're getting immediate karma for it. So, that's one of the things that's happening in the corporate world. My goodness, look at all of the companies that are failing, or companies that are, really experiencing some rough times.
The exciting part is that what's being allowed to happen here, and I want to encourage the men a lot, because what's available for happening is good men standing up and saying, I know we've been doing some stuff that hasn't worked, and I haven't felt like I had, that I could really safely stand up and speak. And by gosh, I'm standing up and speaking. I don't want to do that kind of stuff. This company can do something better than that, and it can do better than that. It can offer better service, and we can make some money. So let's step up.
Yes.
And I think so, what all is going on is allowing men that chance. Because, guys are out, I'm saying guys, but, basically, traditionally, men are out there trying to support their families. They hold their family's life in their hands. They lose a job now. It's not funny. It's not easy to get another one. It's a terrible thing. So, I just love it that more and more and more and more amazing men and women are stepping up in so many different levels. And one of the sweet things is that some of the people retiring are able to step up.
Mm-hmm.
If you're retiring and retired, boom. You might not be able to give away the deep secrets, but you can talk about your experience and what happened and what you are sorry about or what you wish you could have done or what you wish could be done now. Or, you know, people are just expressing themselves on these things. And that's what a functional family does. It's not like, nah, 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 about somebody. It's saying, you know what? This wasn't right. I don't want to see it continue. It's not okay with me in my heart. And I think we're all starting to do that. And like you say, I mean, it's that wonderful principle. Buffalo woman talks again and again. White buffalo woman again and again talks about our oneness and our wholeness. You know, when we come together, our wholeness, when we come together in unity and cooperation and sharing. And she said, that's how you know you're in the new time. Because I had asked her, envision. I asked her when it would happen. You know, the boop, boop, there we are in the new time. And she said, it's not about a date or a moment. Mm-hmm. She said, in a way, it is about a moment, I guess. She said, any moment in which you are sharing and caring and loving and cooperative. I don't mean codependent and wimpy and all of that. I mean stand up, righteous, sharing, caring, whole, unifying, on and on, you know, that kind of energy. You're in the new time. You're in the new time when you behave that way. And if not, boom, you're not in the new time. And I think what's happening is more and more we're realizing that, boy, doing that kind of thing feels good. It's what is supported in this time. This is what the whole energetic movement of time is about, is it's going, okay, we get just about deep enough there. We've gone through it. Millions of years of cycles of various kinds. Let's pull it up and out. Let's step up and have this be a planet of, you know, it's Mother Earth. She's stepping up into being a planet of love and light and sharing and cooperation and abundance and beauty. And so the energy, and it's like, whoa, pulling us, you know, strings all over the place, pulling us toward that good side and hopefully letting us just let the old stuff just blow off as we sail on to the into the newer way of being, you know?
Yes. Well, many people are feeling the new way of being, but there are a lot of people that are still stuck in the old tradition of money. The bottom line is the important thing, and let the chips fall where they may. And so, you know, there is a huge shift happening. And we need to see more of it in corporate levels, like with some of the things they're still doing to Mother Earth. But this is something we're all can now speak out about. We can all, you know, protest on the national media, the international media, really.
Yeah, we can, and we
protest
can,
things.
I think it's at two levels. We can say something about it, and then turn our energy to finding and supporting the businesses and the people and the organizations and the things that are really powerfully making a difference, whether it's with a little email, blip, blip, I support that, or vote for that, or a call to a senator or something, or whether it's buying, you know, the food we buy or whatever. But we really do have enormous power in unity. I always think of the gals in Britain were telling me, in England, I was in London teaching, and we were talking about social change and where you put your money and all of that kind of thing. And this was quite a while ago, and the gal said to me, well, she said, I don't know what you Americans are doing. She said, remember back when there was Red Dye 39 or whatever that bloody product was that was so horrible, causing thalamide in babies, malformation in babies? And she said, in England, we realized they were putting it in our baby food. And we went, what? I'm not buying that. She said, a lot of us had to cook our carrots and grind them up for our babies, you know? Big deal. Yeah. We fed them that way rather than buy those products. And she said, when nobody bought them, boom, once again, they changed it.
Yeah,
of course
that'll
they
do
did.
It.
They have to.
Yes.
You know, so what we do is, I mean, it's just so exciting in a way, you know, the opportunity we have to choose and to say and to make ourselves heard and known. And you know, I think that one of the things that's going on now is we're trying to find how to be feminine and how to use this thing called this amazing feminine power. And so we don't want to get it mixed up. I used to get in trouble with a lot of people who call themselves feminists because I would tell them, you know, you can't get into feminine power by sticking in a Tampax and acting like a guy. Mm. It's a whole different thing. And yet, in this time we're in, you know, we do have to step up. We have to be really balanced people ourselves and able to step up. But I think that the thing that's so important when we step out, when we say something, to say it from a place of love, to say it from, oh, my gosh, I know we all want good food. We all want our children to be in a great place. I know that. I know that in everyone's heart. And I'm going to speak up about what's going on and call people to their hearts, call them to their senses. And yes, to be coming from love. And whether you need to beat a pillow for 40 minutes before you get over being mad at on Monsanto enough to put some good action out there without hatred behind it, or anger or upset or fear behind it, then do that, you know. But it's the quality of our actions, and I think that's another aspect of the feminine. It's the quality of our actions, what they're based in, that makes such a difference. One thing that I like to pay attention to and try to remember is when something comes up and they're, whoop, what am I going to do now? A little voice, if it's loud enough, will say, what would love do? Mm. What would love do in this situation?
Yes.
And
it's good to have
Andy
a yes attitude.
Oh, that's all right, sweetheart. It said, hey, I love you enough to want to see you be the incredible, amazing, loving, kind, helpful, beneficial human being that you really, truly are. So I'm calling you on your behavior. You know, to me, you know, there are lots of kinds of love, and some of those are what are up for a lot of us right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, and there's this thing about, you know, we tend to, if we aren't careful, get caught up and seeing what's wrong with the world and wanting to fight it. And Spirit told me that I need to just focus on doing the things that I know is right, promoting the things that I know is, you know, that I think is good mm-hmm. for the earth. And mm-hmm. instead of wanting to fight against
right.
something that isn't good for the earth. So it reminds me of the story of Mother Teresa when someone asked her if she would go with them to an anti-war protest rally. And she said, no, but let me know when you have a pro-peace rally and I'll come to that.
Uh-huh.
And so that's
like
the whole thing.
I'm busy taking care
yeah.
of people.
Yeah,
yes,
we need to be focusing our attention on the pro side of what we do want it to be. So like the women in England that started making their own baby food when, you know, when the people were putting the red dye in the baby food. And people here that I have many friends here in the U.S. that are growing their own vegetables now rather
Yay,
than buying
all
those
the gardeners. La, 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 la.
Yeah, so, yes, so this is what we have to do is go the pro route and begin to really, labels on everything. And no doubt they don't want GMO put on a label because I won't buy anything that I think is genetically altered. I haven't eaten corn in years, and I love
uh-huh.
corn, unless it's imported from a country that I know does not do GMO. And there's a lot of countries out there that have banned GMOs. It won't allow
hey,
them.
You know, they're even burning the fields, and I don't, you know, I don't like mm-hmm. to have to see that kind of thing happen, but it's like, hey, we need to make a statement here, gang. No, N-O. You know what
yes.
no means? No, none. We're burning the crops. You can't do that stuff here. I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. Yes, so this is what I do. A lot of people that I know do. I won't buy products from companies that are damaging the earth. I won't buy products from companies that, not just the food products, but any mm-hmm. company that's doing things, you know, like polluting and damaging the earth in some way. And
yeah.
I think if people begin to look for other alternatives and take away their money power, then they're going to change.
I think so. You know that's why I think I haven't got to look at it myself, but that book, Good Company, because I think she not only lists good companies, but ways of checking on all of this stuff, you know, that gives us a lot of immediate tools about how to see who is or isn't, you know, doing things, and who is. Like, she talks about the good companies in there, and you go, wow, those are people that I'll go with when I can, you know? So that kind of thing.
You know, it was such a shock to so many of us, you know, when Proposition 37 in California was defeated, and organic growers published a list of the companies that had spent millions of dollars advertising to defeat that. And many of those companies were called themselves organic companies, were selling organic products that you can only get in the health food store. And I'm like, okay, why would these companies be opposed to having to put GMO on their labels? And so
a lot of the people that started some of these good natural companies and stuff have gotten old and ready to retire, and the companies are successful. They sell them out, and all of a sudden they realize that under one guise or the other, like Kraft Foods bought out, you know, not Whole Foods, but, you know, something like that, where all of a sudden you go, oh, my gosh. The same guys aren't running this, for sure. It's got the same name. But anyway, it's tricky. It's very tricky, tricky these days.
Right. Well, it is. And so I have that list of the companies that supported, that spent ridiculous amounts of money to defeat that Proposition 37. And I don't buy their products. And so there's a lot of people out there doing that.
Where would someone find that list if they wanted to? Because, see, we ought to do that in every state. You know, it doesn't matter whether Kraft and whoever it might be. I shouldn't say Kraft. I don't know, you know, but anyway, whoever those companies are, that we can all just go, oh, my gosh. If they support it in California, they're an international company. They'll support it in my state. So why buy their products?
Right. So, organicgrowers.com. Published a list of that, of the companies.
Organicgrowers.com.
And how much each of those companies had spent. And it was just mind-boggling, the amount of money they spent to kill that bill. And so, you know, there's, you're like, wow, could a jar of mayonnaise be, you know, how many jars of mayonnaise do they have to sell to make up the millions of dollars they spent defeating that bill? How much would it really cost them to put that on the label? Next to nothing compared to what they spent for the advertising against it. You know, so there's something serious going on here. And so it makes you wary, you know. So, yeah, so we pay attention to, you know, what we're consuming. And
I would love to shift the conversation a tad bit to something very positive in the same line, which is that I've been doing a lot of sprouting of, you know, getting really good clean seeds, just some simple sprouting things. There are some little, possibility of sprouting these wonderful greens that are just enormously high protein. You know, I think especially for women who are trying to feed their kids and, you know, meat costs a lot of money and all of that, you know, just sprouting some stuff. You could even get the kids to help. It doesn't take that much, you know. Soak them, rinse them, get some kind of little system that works really well, and you've got enormous protein compared to the amount of bulk that you're eating. So they're incredibly healthful and all of that. But something I've been doing a lot, I just put something up on Facebook about it. I've been fermenting, working with the probiotics in food, because it's one of the empowerments we have as women is to step back into our kitchen, and especially when things are too difficult. I know we're all so busy, but things like making fermented food. I make a red cabbage sauerkraut, and all I need to do is take a head of cabbage, I shred it up, I stick it with a little bit of water, and then kind of pound it. I have a little pounder thing to kind of squish it and pound it and get the water out of it. That little bit of salt helps pull the water out, and eventually then weight it down under its liquid or a little bit of water so that it's not up in the air. And the bacteria that love to grow outside of air, that don't need oxygen, will turn it to sauerkraut. And all of those kind of things from fermented food are so vital for your system. And we've dropped them out, you know, not bought from, you know, Kraft Foods or whoever, where it's been boiled to death and has no, and you know, wonderful intestinal flora left in it or anything to help us. But the real home done kind of things where we support the intestinal fauna and flora. And there's a lot of work out there. I can't think of the Russian woman's name who has the GAPS, G-A-P-S diet. And she really, and Winston Price's work, who talks so much about natural, Sally Fallon's Nourishing Traditions. And Dr. Mercola is another wonderful one to check in with. He's got some on there if you just put probiotics or growing fermented foods or blah, blah, blah in his little search engine. There's some wonderful talks. And I want to recommend a book that's really a classic for fermentation. Because, moment, I'll find it here while I'm wandering around. One of the fun things to realize is that chocolate is fermented. Coffee beans are fermented. You know, it's not just, you know, kefir, which is wonderful. We can do that, too. Or you know, fermented dairy products like the yogurts and stuff, if they're done, you know, and really have the good goodies in them. But all of those things... beers, when they're made, a good home brewed, clean, clear, natural beer would have that kind of fermentation. Wine's good, you know, a really good wine without gunk and junk and pollution in it is that same kind of thing. So there's this wide variety that are really great fun. And I seem to have laid aside the book because I just put it on the internet on Facebook. I put it on my Facebook page. It's actually called Wild Fermentation.
Ah, okay.
I'll say that again, so people might want to write it down. Wild, just think of wild and crazy. Wild Fermentation, and it's by a guy named Sandor, S-A-N-D-O-R, Katz, K-A-T-Z, like kitty, Katz, Sandor Katz. And you can easily find it on Amazon, and boy, it'll really support you doing these kind of things. Because one of the things they're finding out is that autism, and one of the real kickers for autism is that the mother doesn't have good gut fauna, and when she, or intestinal fauna and flora I should say, little animals and vegetables in there, and little bacteria. But anyway, if the mother doesn't have that, and then she doesn't breastfeed her baby, then that child gets no inoculation of, it's like you have to, if you make yogurt, you put a starter in there, a culture. You make sourdough, you put a starter or a culture. Children need to be started with the, they don't grow in their mama's belly. They don't get those things in their gut. Those have to be given. Those are a gift from the generation before you. And so it's so important that women nurse and they learn about this fermentation and give their children these things, because one of the things they talk about is that children are born, many autistic children are born, they feel totally fine, oh my God, they're these precious gifts, wonderful, amazing, intelligent little kids, and then something blows out. And what they feel like is one of the major things that blows out is they didn't get the intestinal flora to actually functionally live on the food they're given. And they are crazy with it. Their body just wonks out. And they, I think they can be brought back around with that kind of thing. But anyway, just enormous good possibilities. And the sweet thing is, run it through your, you know, probably run it to your Cuisinart and stick that baby in a glass jar and let it happen. Have a teaspoon or a, you know, whatever. It's an amazing, red, stunning, gorgeous thing on your plate. And it tastes good. You can make it salty or less salty or whatever. And it's just such a good thing to do. So I just want to encourage everyone, the feminine side of everyone that likes to do that kind of thing, to go for it with some of these things. And I'd like to just more and more let people know what things they can do that aren't so time-consuming, because I do know that women are, they're overworked, overstressed, overtired, and, you know.
Yeah, they need the energy, yes.
Yeah, and good, they need that energy. They need that healing themselves. So anything we can do sort of quickly that's that magical and that amazing, I think it's really worth doing and teaching our children.
Yes, I want to get that book and do it myself. We are just about out of time, Brooke, so it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show again. And, of course, I hope we'll do it again down the road sometime, but bless you. And
well, have me on often. I don't get to talk to all these people very often out here in the wilderness.
Well, I think what you're doing up there is wonderful, and your retreat is Flower Song, and you would like to have people come and help you with your organic gardening and all, and you have a wonderful, I love your new website, so people, you can reach her at medicineeagle.com. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, medicineeagle.com.
Okay.
It's still a work in progress. My webmaster got very ill, but it's there. And I do, as a matter of fact, I do hope soon to have up the Women's Moontime Mystery series that talks about women's power and, you know, really using the actual natural power of our bodies. So take a check for that, too, and I'm trying to urge him to get that stuff up.
Okay. Well, thank you, Brooke. For my listeners, next week I have a guest that I haven't had on before. His name is Patrick Pinson, and he owns Cedar Mountain Drums, and he's all about taking care of Mother Earth. So you're going to hear some wonderful wisdom from him. Until then, may the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence.